And the 2017 Ig Nobel Prizes were recently awarded at Harvard University, and they're given every year for scientific achievements that first make people laugh, then make them think. We welcome Mark Abrams, editor of the Annals of Improbable Research, back to the Roadhouse to tell us all about the 2017 Ig Nobel Awards. Welcome back, Mark.
Hey, it's nice to be back.
Yes, well, we look forward to this interview every year, and it's the 27th first annual Ig Nobel Awards.
That's correct.
You guys certainly know how to have a good time out east, Mark. Tell us about the Ig Nobel Awards.
Well, they are just as you described, 10 new prizes every year, and you get a prize if you've done something that makes people laugh and then think. It's got to be something that's done both. We get something like 9,000 or 10,000 new nominations every year, and the winners who are chosen and who accept the prize, you know, quietly offer them the chance to say no if they want, but most of them do say yes. They get themselves here to Massachusetts, and there was a big ceremony with a bunch of Nobel Prize winners and an audience of 1,100 people throwing paper airplanes and all sorts of stuff.
Yes, and I can't help but notice that the IG is like a trademarked brand. What is IG all about?
It's a nonsense word. So the Ig Nobel Prizes, we have to call them something, so that's what we call them.
But you got your patents in place.
Patents, trademarks, they're all elaborate things.
All the I's dotted. So 10,000 prospective applicants, is that right?
Something like that, yeah.
Wow. How'd you narrow it down to 10?
We reduced the number. That's our main technique.
Divided by 1,000. You guys,
we look at these things and we argue a lot. The committee that chooses these is a big committee. It's about 100 people, and it's spread around the world. We have meetings and discussions going on all year round, and there are violent arguments about these things.
Well, I'm glad you could agree on 10. And they sort of mirror a lot of the Nobel categories as far as physics and peace. And I was curious about obstetrics. What is obstetrics?
Obstetrics has to do with childbirth.
Ah, well, that's go figure. Now I know.
And ask any woman you know that question, and you will get the most disgusted look coming back at you.
Yes, well, that one happened to go to a Spanish team that was looking into fetal facial expression in response to intervaginal music emission.
Title of the study they published in a medical journal. The citation for this, it went to 4 Spanish doctors, and the citation said they won their prize for showing that a developing human fetus responds more strongly to music that is played electromechanically inside the mother's vagina than to music that is played electromechanically on the mother's belly.
I see. So this is the old classical music makes your kid brighter, but yet it's more effective if it's played from the inside.
And what they say they discovered is that if you talk to your kids before they're born and you do it in a way they can hear it, that they start to learn something from it. Hard to say what exactly, but they were taking ultrasound movies of these fetuses who were not yet born, and discovered that when they played this music up really close, the fetuses they were old enough would start to make mouth movements as if they were trying to sing along.
Wow, brilliant!
And they have a product. They have a product called Baby Pod. Which you can get. You can even get it on Amazon.com and places like that. It sells for, I think, about $160.
And no doubt with this international prize under their belt, that's going to be quite a successful product, Mark.
Nice touch there in phrasing that, with this prize under their belt.
Oh, well, Mark. So you work in the Annals of Improbable Research. What exactly does that entail?
Well, I'm the editor of that magazine. It's a magazine anybody can read online. It's a PDF, and it's really inexpensive. And We come out every 2 months, and it's a collection of citations, of details and little quotations from lots and lots of research reports from around the world about all sorts of things. And they're all things that make people laugh and think. These are real things that probably no ordinary person would ever run across, unless you happen to work in this very, very specific field. The kinds of things that win Ig Nobel Prizes are spectacular examples of what we publish in the magazine all the time.
Okay, so you've got a magazine, you've got a blog. I also see you've got a new cookbook out. Volume 1.
All this stuff is on our website. People can see it, improbable.com. You can also see video of the winners accepting advice. And the cookbook is recipes from some Ig Nobel Prize winners about their favorite foods related to Ig Nobel Prizes. For example, you remember, I'm sure, that about 15 years ago we gave the Ig Nobel Biology Prize to a scientist in the Netherlands who studies birds. He had published a report called Homosexual Necrophilia in the Mallard Duck. He's the scientist who discovered the existence of homosexual necrophilia in the mallard duck. And he contributed one of the recipes that's in our cookbook for a duck dinner.
Naturally. Wow, so lots of fun during the ceremony, it would appear. You hold this in one of the grand halls at Harvard, the Sanders Theater.
Oh, it's in the grandest. It's in the oldest, largest theater. It's also the largest classroom. It fits 1,100 people. Yeah, it's a really stately old building.
And people really dress up for this?
People dress up and people dress down. You'll see people in top hats and people in their underwear, people who are painted silver. All kinds of unimaginable things.
And there's a period of paper airplane deluging, two periods of paper airplanes.
Yeah, that's a tradition that started way back in the second year of the ceremony. A lot of people who buy tickets and come to the ceremony will bring along an armful of paper that they will use to make paper airplanes and share it with their neighbors, and they throw paper airplanes at the stage.
Wow, that'll certainly make you laugh.
It's a dream come true for many people who like science when they're kids. We're not allowed to do that in classrooms.
Yes, yes. And everybody's got to keep their acceptance speeches brief, right? What's the timing of the ceremonies?
If you win a prize, you get about 1 minute to give your speech. And if you're talking for much longer than that, we have a really cute little 8-year-old girl who walks across the stage and walks up to you and says, "Please stop. I'm bored. Please stop. I'm bored. Please stop. I'm bored. Please stop. Okay. I'm bored." And she doesn't stop until they do. And it works. It keeps everything moving along nice and quickly.
Nothing like an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Do you think we should talk about a couple of the other things that won a prize this year?
Oh, absolutely, Mark. That's for the second half of our interview. I'll go ahead and let folks know that I'm talking with Mark Abrams. He's the sort of the mastermind here behind the Annals of Improbable Research, and they've just had their gala of 2017 Ig Nobel Prize Awards out at Harvard at the historic Sanders Theater. 10 brilliant scientist teams from around the world, multiple awards in physics, peace, cognition. I'm particularly taken by, where was the one on this back page? That's fluid dynamics. Now, this one studied coffee spilling phenomenon in the low impulse regime. What was that all about?
Yeah, that's the name on the scientific study that was published. The citation is probably a little bit clearer. The person who did it was a high school student at the time that he published this. Very impressive for a high school student to publish such a complicated physics paper. And the citation said that he won this Ig Nobel Prize for studying the dynamics of liquid sloshing to learn what happens when a person walks backwards while carrying a cup of coffee.
Okay, and?
Well, you may remember that about 7 or 8 years ago, we gave a prize to some American scientists who did a similar thing. They studied the physics of what happens when a person walks forwards while carrying a cup of coffee, and they showed that for anybody, it's nearly impossible to walk with a cup of coffee walking forwards without spilling it. Just the physics says that you're not going to be able to do that. This high school student read that physics paper and decided to test what happens if you walk backwards. And he decided that if you walk backwards, well, not even decide, he demonstrated in theory and then in fact, that if you do that, you can try this yourself and see, that you're not going to spill it as much unless you trip and fall.
Or run into something.
Oh. What happens is that unless you are a highly trained ballet dancer or something, nobody is used to walking backwards. And so you're not going to get into the kind of rhythm that causes the liquid in the cup to really start sloshing more and more. So, you know, in the physics of it, it makes sense that you're not going to spill as much coffee walking backwards unless you trip and fall into the wall.
Excellent, excellent. That alone sets me off because I spill a lot of coffee walking forward. Now I know.
Yeah, well, if this changes your habit at work, I would love to hear about it.
I'll put it in reverse. Here's another fun one.
Take some pictures, too, please.
Absolutely. The Anatomy Prize going to James Heathcote from the United Kingdom for his medical research study, Why Do Old Men Have Big Ears? I'm
yes,
dying.
Dr. Heathcote came over from London to accept the prize and talk about this. And he did a study of quite a large number of patients and trying to figure out why it is that old men seem to have big ears. And what he's pretty sure happens is that the ears are one of the few parts of the body that most people seem to keep growing throughout your lifetime.
Only in the male species, though, or is this?
He was only looking at women. He did this back in 1995, but he said that apparently it's true for. He's only looking at men, but he said that it is quite true for women as well as men.
And did he glean any insights into the hairiness of ears?
Oh, that's a complicated question you're asking here. There are many other scientists who have looked at that.
Perhaps another year. Okay, how about, I don't know how to pronounce, rheology of cats? What's rheology?
Yeah, rheology is an interesting big science word. It means the study of things that flow, you know, like water or anything that flows. Sand can flow, all sorts of things. And there's a whole branch of science devoted to that.
Physics.
Anyway, this was a French scientist who did this, and he looked at the question, can a cat be both a solid and a liquid?
I've seen a few.
And the physics of that, really, if you look at this paper that he wrote, you can find it online. And a lot of the details may seem more complicated than most people would want, but a lot of it you can follow along pretty well, especially the diagrams. And he makes a pretty good case that cats do demonstrate that the boundary between what's solid and what's liquid, it may not be quite what you think it is.
Well, especially when it's hit with an 18-wheeler.
Yes.
Well, now, I remember last year...
You seem to have a very interesting and unusual life. You don't mind my saying.
That's why I make the big bucks. Now, here's something, Mark. I can't help but think of last year and the fellow who was living with the goats and basically became a goat. Was he at the ceremony this year?
Yeah, he came back this year to take a bow. And his goat suit is off in Korea right now. It's in a museum, so he cannot spend time living as a goat right now.
How's the life back in the realm of humans then? Is he?
Well, he's done okay. In the past year or so, he got married, and they have a newborn child who's here. And they got to have a nice discussion with the Spanish doctors who invented that device to play music for pregnant women and newborn mothers. It was quite a festive occasion with all of these Nobel winners getting to talk to each other.
I can imagine the gala. Extraordinary at Sanders Theater, and it looked like there were lots of options for getting there. One of them I couldn't make out was teeing. What is teeing?
Teeing.
Yeah, when you mentioned like you can walk or bike or tee.
Oh yeah, on the website it tells you if you got a ticket, here's how to get to the theater.
Yeah.
In Boston, we have a subway system and a bus system that's called the T.
Got it.
Everybody around here says, "Are you taking the T?"
Like the BART out west. Gotcha, Mark.
Yeah,
thanks.
Right.
All right, so who else did you recognize? Any other people you'd like to make famous?
Oh, there are a bunch of people. There's a bunch of Swiss scientists who won the Ig Nobel Peace Prize. They won the Peace Prize for demonstrating that regular playing of a didgeridoo, you know, that Australian instrument, it's a long, thin tube, makes a very deep sound. The scientists demonstrated that regular playing of a didgeridoo is an effective treatment for obstructive sleep apnea and snoring.
That does make me think. Sleep apnea, that's the sort of you get not enough breaths in.
That's something a lot of people suffer from, that when you're asleep, you from time to time have trouble breathing, and that wakes you up, which means you get less sleep, which means you have more trouble. And it's a horrible kind of thing that people have. And what they found is that if you start playing a didgeridoo regularly, that can develop some of the tissue inside your throat and help to deal with that problem.
I see. So it's metaphysical.
More physical than meta.
What else is on our list? The Cognitive Prize, a multinational team here, Italian, Spanish, and United Kingdom. They were studying, is that me or my twin? Lack of self-face recognition advantage in identical twins. So identical twins can't tell the difference in photos?
Yeah. Again, that what you read is the title of the scientific study they published. The citation put it in a little bit clearer language. It said they won for demonstrating that many identical twins cannot tell themselves apart visually.
In photos,
yeah.
Amazing.
And to demonstrate, we got a couple of doctors on stage who are identical twins, and then we showed them a photo of one of them and asked, which of you is this? And they kept shaking their heads and pointing to each other and looked all confused.
Oh, brilliant. Wow, I love it. I love it, Mark. You guys bring a little happiness to my world. You make me think. You make me laugh. The Ig Nobel Prizes. Is there a 27th first annual? That's certainly tongue-in-cheek. What, every year is the first? 27 years you've been doing this, though. What's the future hold?
I can tell you the immediate future. Next year we'll hold the 28th first annual.
Yes.
And rumors are that the year after that we'll hold the 29th first annual Ig Nobel Prize. I can check on that for you and get back to you.
We'll call you next fall.
Great. Thanks.
Oh, great stuff, Mark. So you're certainly out there on social, and you've got the improbable.com website. Lots of information, great information there. Folks can donate to the Ig.
And also, if anybody knows about somebody who should win an Ig Nobel Prize in the future, go to the website and just drop us a little note. Tell us how we can find them and what that person did, please.
Yeah, I'm interested in purchasing the coffee mug that's... I'm bored. Please stop. I'm bored. Does it have a little sound device in the base of it that you pick it up?
No, you can make that sound yourself. And you can also use that coffee mug to do some experiments. Fill it up with coffee and then walk forwards for a while and then walk backwards for a while.
Yeah, and then throw it on a cat.
Well, again, you've got your own research program going there. I would not want to interfere with that.
Well, I think I'm going to study obstetrics. And the baby pod. I've got one on order. So great stuff, Mark. Thanks so much for your time here at the Roadhouse. And good luck on the 2018. And the search is on. People can start to submit their studies now.
Uh-huh.
Improbable.com. Thanks, Mark.
Great. Thank you.
Take care.